When someone you love makes a promise, you expect him or her to keep it. There's nothing more painful than the betrayal of trust. Nothing more disheartening than when a loved one reneges on a promise. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues our biographical series called Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. We've come to the point in our study when God made a covenant, and we'll discover how God kept his promise, not only during Abraham's lifetime, but we see the covenant honored to this day. Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Never to be Forgotten Promises.
Unlike most individuals, governments, and institutions in the world, God keeps his word. He doesn't forget his promises. And he doesn't back out of agreements. He doesn't break contracts. He doesn't renege on covenants. Though he may not fulfill his promises according to your and my timetables, we can always count on this. God's character is marked by integrity and veracity. When God promised to accomplish specific things for certain individuals and people groups back in biblical times, those promises remained unbreakable. God's unconditional promises to a man named Abram stand to this day as an enduring example of God's faithfulness to his own word. Today we're going to see an amazing example of God's promise to a man fresh out of idolatry. In a never-to-be-forgotten promise that has affected our entire world, even to this day. So, in preparation for that, please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, and then put your finger over in chapter 15 of Genesis. I'll be reading 6 verses from each of these chapters. First, Genesis 12, verses 1 through 6. Now the Lord said to Abram, Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. And then turn to Genesis 15 for the first 6 verses there. Beginning at verse 1, After these things the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, Now, look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, So shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his helpful Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Never to Be Forgotten Promises.
Our Father, you have heard our words and you know the thoughts in our minds and hearts as we have made our commitment to you regarding the work of this ministry. You know motives as well as others see actions. You know where we come from, the pit from which we have been dug. We realize, our Father, that were it not for your grace, we would in no way have a place to stand. We thank you that you lifted us from a horrible pit and placed our feet upon a rock and gave us a song, even praise to our God, which many would see and fear and trust in him and in you. How we thank you. How grateful we are for the growth you have given, for the lessons that have been learned, and many we are still learning, for the tests that have driven us to our knees and reminded us that it does not matter how great the pressure is, but where the pressure lies. Whether it comes between us and you or presses us nearer your heart. We have been pressed to your heart again and again, and our world today is in worse condition than when we began as a ministry. All the more reason for us to remember what we have promised and to keep our word by your grace and for your glory. From these humble beginnings, we acknowledge that what we enjoy today has come from your hand of grace. Amazing grace. And we exult in it. We stand filled with gratitude for it. And now we give our gifts that others may know of it. In the name of the one who modeled grace, mercy, and peace better than any who has ever lived, we pray. Everyone said, Amen. When you promise someone something, you offer assurance. You provide a basis for expectation. Think about that. If I make you a promise, you live in the expectation of my keeping the promise. My fulfilling it. Among the list of synonyms, interestingly, were words like covenant, guarantee, vow. A promise is a declaration that someone will or will not do a certain thing. The financial world has promissory notes in which we sign our name to the document. And in doing so, we promise that we will keep the words that are written in there regarding a financial arrangement. Every wedding I have done includes the most important part called the vows. They are promises where the bride and groom promise to keep themselves faithful to one another as long as both of them will live. It's a covenant. The biblical word for it is covenant. Interestingly, there are covenants between people, one another, and then there are covenants made by God to people. And we find all of those things in the Bible. For example, the people-to-people, what we call human covenants, are found, many of them in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 18:3, Jonathan made David a covenant that he would not turn against him. He would be loyal regardless of what Jonathan's father, King Saul, might do to David. 1 Samuel 18:3 states a covenant. And then there are divine covenants. Some of them have titles. One appears with the first couple in the Garden of Eden, where God says to the people, Adam and Eve, of every tree you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day you eat of it, here's the covenant, you will surely die. The Hebrew says, dying, you will die, which is another subject to get into at another time. It's a divine covenant known among theologians as the Edenic covenant, named by the garden itself. When you get to Noah's day, you come across the Noahic covenant. Interesting promise there. You remember the times. Times were so desperate and people were so depraved that God regretted he had ever made man. And he told Noah, the only righteous man he could find, to build an ark because he was going to send waters that would cover the earth. This universal flood would kill all who were not in the ark. And then he made Noah a promise, I will never again flood the whole earth. And he sealed the promise with what? You remember? Of course, a rainbow. God doesn't call it a rainbow in Genesis 9. He calls it a bow in the sky. By the way, many people live and die and never realize that that rainbow is simply a visible, tangible reminder of God's covenant, a divine covenant. He will never again flood the earth with water, the Noahic covenant. 2 Samuel 7 includes a covenant with David, God makes to David regarding the kingdom. It's called the Davidic covenant. Now, all of this brings us to the 12th chapter of Genesis, where God is speaking to Abraham, who, by the way, is called Abram for a while, and the word means exalted father, until later it's changed to Abraham when Isaac is given, and that word, that name means father of many nations, father of many people. But he's now called Abram, and the Lord says to Abram, he gives him a command or a call, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. It's a command. And verse 4 tells us he did exactly what he was told. Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. The wonderful thing about obeying commands is that there are rewards. The sad part is when you don't, there are consequences. However, between the command, verse 1, and his departing, verse 4, God gave him several unconditional promises. He brings them all together in a series of statements. If you have your Bible in front of you, please notice the repeated word, and. Verse 2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We know that it's unconditional because there is nothing here, including the word if. See verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. Continuing, I will curse the one who curses you. So this is a set of unconditional promises. This is called by students of the scriptures the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant for obvious reasons. Now there are three major areas of blessing that form the covenant that God makes with Abram. First is a national promise of blessing. Second is a personal promise of blessings, plural. And third is an international set of promises regarding his covenant with Abram. First, let's take the national. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. What an amazing revelation to a man in his mid-70s, wife in her mid-60s. They are childless. Now, Abram, no doubt, went through the times of doubt. And so chapter 13, turn there, verse 14, you see the Lord reassuring him. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Understand, Abram's older, time has passed, no son has been given, no child. So he said, look up from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. Please observe the unconditional nature of the promise. I will. He doesn't say, Abraham, if you pray every day, I will do this. That would be a conditional promise. He doesn't say, Abraham, if you and Sarah regularly agree that what I'm telling you can be relied on, then I will keep it. That would be conditional. He simply says, Abram, look in each direction. This is the land that the great nation will occupy. Verse 15, all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. If anyone can measure the dust of the earth, they can measure the number of the people that will fill this great nation. And he doesn't have one child, not one. And time passes. When you get to chapter 15, he's older. In fact, the beginning of chapter 17, he's 99. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I'm childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus, one of his servants. And Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? And he adds, since you have given me no offspring, the one born in my house is my heir, meaning this servant. And behold, the Lord said to him, No. Now, this man will not be the heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body. And he took him outside. Before he had him look to the north, south, east, and west, now he takes him out. Apparently, it's night. And he says, I want you to look up and see the stars. Look toward the heavens and count the stars. His point is not a literal counting. It's the point that there will be a multitude of people who will come from the fulfillment of my promise. If you're able to count them, and he said, so shall your descendants be. And Abram believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Now, on top of the national blessing and the personal blessings, look at the international, very relevant in our day, right about now. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. Think about that. Those who bless Abraham and the nation that will come from him, the people of the Hebrews, God will bless. How wise is any nation to be an ally to Israel? He promises that blessing will fall on those who go in that direction. He also warns that there will be serious consequences on those who curse the nation. Now, so much for Abraham. How about you and me? There's a promise that says, fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. What a great promise. Paul writes that we can know the blessings of God just like he did and others in God's family, where we are able to claim those blessings that God has made available to all of his people. And you claim those, and they are yours. He is able to give you a peace that would not normally come. That's a promise you can claim. Even though you don't know what the future brings, God promises you an inner sense of peace and tranquility, serenity. Okay, so that means we can trust God to keep his promises. That, for example, 1 Corinthians 10:13, No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to men and women. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation give you a way of escape. You understand the value of memorizing the scriptures. You're able to claim them right when you need them at a time of being tempted, rather than saying, you know what, this is too much for me to withstand. I just don't. Wait a minute. The promise says he will give you the strength to endure. He will give you a way of escape. That's a promise you can claim. Satan attacks us, and we forget the promise in James, resist the devil, he will flee from you. There's another one over in Ephesians 6. To put on the whole armor of God, you will be able to stand against all of the attacks of the enemy. That's a promise you can claim. And so we trust God for that. In fact, there's a promise on prayer that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, knowing that he will hear us and he will grant us our requests according to his will. We can count on that. There are many of you who serve Christ faithfully, and you can begin to wonder if God even notices. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you've shown toward his name, and that you've ministered to the saints and keep on ministering. I love to put that verse at the end of a letter when I write those who are involved in ministry, or when I speak to those engaged in serving Christ in whatever capacity. God doesn't forget. He has veracity. He has integrity. We can count on. That's what Abraham believed. He believed God meant what he said. And he lived in light of that promise. What's interesting is when God finally did fulfill it and told him, now's the time I'm going to bring the baby. Remember, Abram's 100 and his wife's 90. Abram laughs. Well, you would have too. At that age, surely. And the name Isaac means laughter. You laugh at this? Name your son Laughter. There's a lot of ways you can go with that, which we won't go. We also wait on our God to fulfill his plan whenever he chooses. We wait on God to fulfill his promise. Some of you are in God's waiting room right now, I said a few moments ago. Understand that God's timetable is not our timetable. God has a plan all his own that is free of time. And you know what? We're all familiar with waiting. So we wait for him to fulfill his promise.
Waiting is a natural part of life. But God always pulls through. God made a covenant to Abraham, and it's a promise kept to this day. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, Never to Be Forgotten Promises. Biographical studies are among Chuck's favorites to deliver. He often says that real-life stories have a way of putting flesh on the truth. That's certainly the case with his 22-part series called Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. To purchase the CDs or the downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org/store. Now, as a complement to this series, Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll have selected a powerful book for you to read. Carol Kent tells her riveting story of love, loss, and redemption in a book that chronicles the journey alongside her son. It's titled, When I Lay My Isaac Down, Unshakable Faith in Unthinkable Circumstances. And a copy is yours when you give a donation to support Chuck's daily Bible teaching on your station. At Insight for Living Ministries, we strongly believe that God's faithfulness is never more evident than when the hurricane churns through a town, or fires ravage entire mountains, or when senseless killers wreak havoc on innocent people. Carol's personal story is about one of the worst types of pain that a parent could ever endure, and the grace of God through it all. And it's a natural complement to our study on Abraham's journey. We want you to have a copy of this inspirational story, When I Lay My Isaac Down. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. or go online to insight.org. If you prefer to write, our address is Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. Your donation is directly applied toward providing Chuck's teaching on your station. And your generosity gives countless others an opportunity to hear the Bible teaching you've come to rely on. Write Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org.
Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Are you looking for a way to reconnect with your family? Engage in a very special way with your spouse? Well, I'm hoping you'll join me for a one-week adventure to the Alaskan frontier.
The cool ocean breeze, the majestic mountains, standing arm in arm, awestruck by the panorama of beautiful views.
Step into the quaint seaside villages of that wild frontier. Create a world of memories you'll never forget.
Restore your sense of wonder and refresh your marriage. And reconnect with God in daily teachings from Chuck Swindoll.
We'll sing together and study God's Word together. We'll enjoy a lot of laughter. And of course, we'll explore the majestic beauty of God's creation.
Get away with God together on the Insight for Living Cruise to Alaska. Join us June 30th through July 7th, 2018. Call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or learn more at insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Be sure to join us again Friday when Chuck Swindoll describes never-to-be-forgotten promises, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Never-to-be-forgotten Promises, was copyrighted in 2012, 2014, and 2017, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.